Barker, I swear to God, I have a rule that when the baseball season is over,
yeah,
I leave the manager alone for like a month. I mean, I can text him, email him, whatever. I leave the manager alone for a month. This guy's back with his family.
Yeah.
So you're going to leave him alone.
Sure.
I'm watching the Yankees game yet last night. Aaron Boone does the genius move with David Garcia. And I'm thinking to myself, because I know Charlie's watching, I'm thinking to myself, should I text Charlie and just ask him if he's going to be on social media tonight to see the reaction to yanking Garcia after one pitcher? Should I do that? Considering all the grief he got in social media for the way he handled pitchers, should I do that?
Did you?
No. I couldn't bring myself to it. I texted you instead.
Yeah.
which tells you how much I value.
Yeah, yeah.
The Yankees tried to out-Ray the Tampa Bay Rays last night. The Rays won 7-5. Giancarlo Stanton again. Oh. Just we'll talk about that separately. Let's because I almost feel as if Giancarlo Stanton won that game last night. You know what I mean? I almost feel as if he won it personally. What we're seeing from him is amazing. I want to talk to you about that because I know you hammered on him going into the postseason. I want to give you credit because you said he's going to be the guy. It's Aaron Judge, DJ LeMahieu, and you were on the Giancarlo Stanton bandwagon for like the last week of the season. So I'm going to treat that separately. We got to talk about what happened in the Rays-Yankees last night. We all know that the Rays were the masterminds of the opener. And Charlie Montoyo was the coach with the Rays when it happened. Now, the Rays did this because they had no option. Yeah. Right? They're running out of starting pitchers.
Yeah.
Kevin Cash is literally, what the hell do I do? I know. Let's throw a guy out there who's got great stuff for an inning. Then we'll bring another guy in. Maybe we go righty-lefty to screw up the other. Let's do that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a move designed. It wasn't Kevin Cash, you know, saying, what can I do today to really screw everything up?
How can I slow the game down?
Yeah, you know, it's like I've done the Rubik's Cube, you know.
We invented the shift. What more can we do?
Yeah, I bowled 700. I've invented the shift. Well, what else can I possibly do? So anyhow, the New York Yankees and Aaron Boone, and folks, I keep telling you this. The New York Yankees are all in an analytics. They're as in an analytics as the Blue Jays. I don't know why people don't believe me when I tell you this. They're maybe even more in than the Blue Jays on analytics. So, you know, that's why I laugh when people go on social media, they're ripping the Jays. Well, would the Yankees do that? Yes, they would do that. They've done it for 3 or 4 years. So last night, David Garcia gets taken out after an inning. It wasn't great. Gets taken out after an inning.
Five batters.
Taken out after an inning, right?
Yep.
They put in Jay Happ. Now, first of all, they screwed around with Jay Happ this year. His number of starts, they basically cost him money. They basically skipped a couple of starts, so he missed his option. So they screwed around with Jay Happ. And Jay Happ clearly hadn't bought into this, right? I mean, you could tell. So... What? First of all, you've pissed off the best young pitcher in your organization. You pissed off a guy you've already pissed off. And then, of course, it backfires. But don't take my word for it. Michael Kay has been the TV voice of the Yankees for a long time. Now, keep that in mind. Michael Kay has been the TV voice of the Yankees for a long time. So, and yes, he's a talk show host, but he's got to walk that line, right? That club... broadcasters generally walk. Last night after the game on the Yes Network, I kind of think Michael Kay fell off that line a little bit. Andrew, let's play Michael Kay's reaction to how the Yankees handled their pitching last night, because it is genius, and it's frankly better than anything I could say. So this is Michael Kay.
I will tell you this. Every time, the team that invented the opener is the Tampa Bay Rays. And the reason they invented the opener is because they didn't have enough starters. So they were just trying to piece it together. So you took a guy who the other 29 teams in baseball would trade the Yankees one of their top prospects to get, Davey Garcia, and you wasted him in one inning. And now you have put yourself in a situation that if there is a game 4, and there will be a game 4, obviously, It's going to be Jordan Montgomery who starts. That's the guy you want starting a game where you could go home. That's not a knock on Jordan Montgomery. The Yankees had several options for today, and they choose to go with an opener so that the other manager could flip his lineup, which he didn't even blink. Because why didn't he blink? Because J-Hap is not a guy who's devastating against left-handers. And you can see what the lefties did today. They were 2-for-7 against him. That didn't scare him into doing that. They weren't bringing in Sandy Koufax. It doesn't make sense what they did. This was a move that would be looked at as a panic move. There's no need to panic. You won yesterday. You have Tanaka tomorrow. Why are you trying to reinvent the wheel? If the Yankees end up losing this series, they will look at this gamble and say, that's the reason why we lost. You let the Tampa Bay Rays back into the series. And it's inexcusable what happened today. It didn't make sense. And as I said earlier, it's the New York Yankees trying to show everybody we're smarter than you. And the Tampa Bay Rays, by the way, they're pretty smart too. So you're going to try to outsmart a team that's pretty smart in its own right. It was a huge gamble, and it exploded today.
Yeah, you
That was Michael Kay, the TV voice of the Yankees. So we'll put him down as undecided about Look, we knew it was going to happen, but Kevin, again, I know what the former ball player is going to say. And there were a lot of former, I mean, Jeff Nelson, former pitcher, lit up the Yankees on social media for this. I kind of understand the base logic behind it. But there's one thing you know about Kevin Cash. Kevin Cash does not like to have his hand forced. And I remember, and Charlie Montoya talked about this one time, about how one of the secrets to matching up with teams and to going lefty-righty, or whatever, yeah, one of the things to playing the platoon game is at times you got to just say, I don't care. Like, I'm gonna stick with my lefty hitters. They're good hitters. I'm going to stick with them against the lefty. And J-Hap, yeah, I'm not going to change my whole lineup. Did the Yankees outthink themselves here?
Yeah, I think it's more of, if you're on the Rays team and you're on the bus on the way home after the win or however you get to the hotel, you're thinking they have to trick us to beat us.
Oh, yeah.
That's basically what the Yankees told the Rays by doing these kind of things, that this is what we have to do pitching-wise to get through innings enough to allow our lineup to figure you out. It's, you know, we know what kind of pitching the Rays have. Our pitching, our starting pitching, we don't really have enough. You know, I think it has to do a little bit. If you had J-Hap buying into this, on paper, this makes a ton of sense. But you could even tell when he's warming up in the bullpen that you could tell by him walking around and the way he's just the demeanor of how, you know, he looks when he's releasing the ball. Like, really? I'm not starting this game when I should have been doing that anyway. If you're going to do it, I'm a starter. You know, you have to have buy-in to the guy that's coming in after the opener guy. It's – yeah, for me, David Garcia, what? The velo was good. The bite on the breaking ball was good. The arm speed on the changeup was good. We saw him go seven innings, both starts with the Blue Jays. You know, he's locating the heater.
What does that tell you? What is that? This is the guy you're going to count on. This guy's going to be pitching long after Tanaka's on this team.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think it's more about they're trying to win. Again, on paper, it makes a lot of sense. But, if that guy's coming in, J-Hap is not buying into what he's trying to do, throwing strikes. And, you know, he's a couple – for me, when he walks G-Man Choi and gives up the home run, the two-run homer to Margot, that sort of tells you that, you know, the 3-2 cutter right down the middle, it's, you know, not getting on the same page with the catcher. And you know, he's walking around the mound. He stepped off one time when he was in his windup. You could just tell something wasn't right. The heart wasn't in it enough that, you know, I'm making good pitches. I'm locating. We didn't see him go up. J-Hap's thing is up, elevated fastballs. Do you see any of those?
We talk about that. We talk about that all the time.
Yeah, I saw him trying to go in. I saw him trying to do backdoor cutters. That's not J-Hap. Why is he not doing these kind of things? So, again, for me, I just think they fueled the fire with the Rays on the bus. I know if I'm a Ray, I'm thinking the big bad Yankees are trying to trick us. That's the only way they think they can beat us in five games.
Something else to keep in mind about J-Hap is when J-Hap re-signed with the Yankees after the 18 season, he signed a contract that paid him $34 million over 2 years, and it had a $17 million vesting option for next year. And Hap would have needed 165 innings or 27 starts to make the option vest. With the season shortened to 60 games, those numbers became 10 starts or 61 and a third innings. he didn't make it. The Yankees and he started three times in the first 29 games, and then he finally pitched against the Mets on 12 days rest when they got him out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you've already got Jay Happ, who we can't put this any other way. It wasn't the only reason the Yankees did what they did, but I guarantee you it was part of the reason. I covered the Expos when they did the same thing to Oil Can Boyd. They had a vesting option with Oil Can Boyd. They just didn't start him. They didn't start him and cost the can some money. So, I mean, it happens, and especially at this time with COVID and lack of revenue. But this is the thing that people need to remember about all this. And I'm going to ask Danny Jansen this when he joins us, Blue Jays catcher.
Yeah.
This is the thing people need to remember, Kevin, when we talk about all this stuff you're doing with pitching. And it's something our friend Pete Walker talked about yesterday. Mm-hmm. You have to have buy-in. You have to have guys, either young guys who are on board and are smart enough to see that the game is changing.
Well, you can force them into things. It's different with a
veteran
guy. But it helps.
Like a perfect example, a guy like Ryan Yarbrough, who initially wasn't happy with it, then the Rays sat him down and said, look, this is where we're going. And Ryan Yarbrough said, okay, I'm going to make some money out of this. I understand.
Yeah.
No, but I mean,
rather be doing that this way here.
Exactly.
Than starting in the minor league.
You do that with a guy like that who buys in, or a veteran who understands that his stuff is diminishing and, you know, maybe he's won a ring. Yeah. You know, maybe you can do that with buy-in. But I don't think they had bought in. I don't think they had buy-in from either one of those guys last night. And there were a couple of camera shots of Garcia. Garcia was pissed. And he wasn't pissed. He looked like he was really, really disappointed. And look,
I think he knows he has good stuff and he can compete against the Rays. The Rays, again, don't have the greatest of lineups. And you fueled the fire over there saying basically that your lefties were afraid of you. With the left-handed, right-handed thing, that they don't really know how to get him out. I know the change-up plays, the separation in the mile per hour, and I know the big breaking ball plays. When he has bite with that, and he is elevating and living on one side of the plate with the fastball, we've seen it with the Blue Jays. He can dominate a lineup.
I have seen a lot of rookie pitchers have worse first innings than that.
You give up a home run. So what? It's 1-0.
Exactly.
You have the best lineup in baseball on your team. Giancarlo Stanton, all of a sudden, you can't get him out.
Exactly. We'll talk a little bit to Danny Jansen.
The interesting thing we'll see, because obviously something's wrong with Tanaka. Like I wouldn't say wrong, but something is not right, or he would have started the second
kind
day.
Of a,
whatever it is,
maybe
whether
a little
it's
bit
last
like
start,
the Ryu thing, maybe
the on
just,
and off kind of thing, and the rain delay, whatever it is. It's what is how does Aaron Boone get from, say he goes five innings? Yeah. How do you get it to Britton and Chapman? I've said this. This is where managers make their money. Sixth inning to the back end of the bullpen. Ottavino, you feel confident
you
in him.
You got to hope Chad.
Wisely, you feel confident in him.
Chad Green
Nick
scuffle.
Nelson, you feel confident in him. You know, it's
Chad
these
Green
are,
is scuffled
these are
a bit
guys
too.
That names that, you know, the Yankees aren't going. How do you, who do you go to? When do you go to them?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be key.
Can the Rays win this series if Giancarlo Stanton keeps doing what he's doing? And what's happened to him, Kevin? Because this is, this guy's going a roll. And we've talked about how this is like a 64-game season, whatever. He's a streaky guy
and
all
that. He's a typical power hitter.
But Barker, he's on like a 420-foot roll.
When you see him going to right field, hitting the ball that hard, that means he's locked in. That means he has direction to the baseball. For example of that, before he hit the ball to the moon, he got a fastball basically center cut right down the middle that he pulled off of. Mm-hmm. Always notice him whenever he's taking less time between swings, meaning I take that one bad swing, I step out, I'm thinking about it, what did I do? You can see it churning. He did not do that. And you're seeing that with him. That means he's in his happy place. He's found his Jimmy Johns. It's that little where I know what I did. I don't even have to think about it now. Now I know if I just get it started a little sooner and I get it down direction-wise, I know if I barrel it, it has a chance of going to the moon. So that's where when you're opposing pitcher and you're facing him, it doesn't matter how hard you're throwing, you know, you have to execute. I think you have to be real fine with him. I think you don't let him beat you. You know, it's okay to let Aaron Hicks beat you.
What about Aaron Judge? I know what you're saying, but how is it? How is it? I'll let you finish. Sorry, go ahead.
Again, when a guy's this hot and is seeing the ball the way he's seeing it,
just pitch
around. And hitting the breaking ball, which he took to right field for the home run, which the fastball was 97 right down the middle that he hit for the home run to the pole side. When he's doing these kind of things, it's line to line, and it looks easy. There's nothing churning. Like, he's healthy, everything mechanical. He's in his happy place. Mm-hmm. He's an MVP for a reason. Like, there's a reason why he can carry a team. So for me, if I'm Tampa Bay, I just don't pitch to him. Like, you know, unless I have to, I try and make my perfect pitch. I might, my best secondary pitch. I'm not attacking him with fastballs.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm just not doing it. I'm going to try and get him to chase. If he doesn't, I attack the next guy.
What is Charlie Morton? Is that what Charlie Morton has to do tonight?
Yeah, I think
in the third game, just to make him chase?
I think he's a spin first guy. You know, he came from the Astros. He's going to spin it first, going to elevate it. And again, I think Charlie doesn't throw as hard as the other two guys. I think he has to crowd him. You got to make him a little. Pitching in's the lost art. You know, people don't really know how to do that, but you can move a foot occasionally. You know, you can establish in there. You can, if you miss, you miss in off the plate. I'm not talking about, you know, hitting people like Acuna Jr.'s being hit. Yeah. I'm not talking about like that. I'm talking about when I miss in. I don't miss in or third, that kind of thing. You have to establish in there. Big guys. Big guys want to get their arms extended. They don't like the ball in. That makes them change things. That makes them think a half an inch sooner, I got to open up, which means direction is not as good, which means you don't hit the balls hard. So I think he has to establish in. I think he has to expand with secondary pitches. If it was me, again, what I just said, I'm not pitching to the hottest guy. I'm going to make somebody else beat me. Can Judge hit a consistent fastball middle in? Only way you know is to throw it and see if he can.
Yeah, I hate to say this too, but it is a fact that the game knows that we all know that Giancarlo Stanton had that horrible hit by pitch in the face.
Why he's closed himself off like that.
That's why he's closed himself off.
Takes guts to do that.
Frank Menachino was the guy who got him to.
Yeah, I got hit in the ribs one time with a breaking ball off a left-hander. It took me like 2 weeks to step in the right direction. Yeah. It was a breaking ball, but it just, because it hurt so bad and because I was jumpy.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't want to attack the baseball with everything that I had, and it's something else.
We'll be joined by David Sampson in Writer's Block. He was the president of the Marlins when Stanton was hit by that pitch. So we'll talk to him. To him about that. We'll take a look at the National League Series after we talk to Danny Jansen as well. Very quickly before the break, Kevin, Randy Arozarena again.
Yeah.
Last night. This is a guy. I texted someone last night in the game and I said, I get the impression this guy's going to be pissing the American League East off a great deal next year. Young guy, eventually the league catches
they
up
will,
to you at some point.
First they will. Kind of thing.
That was what I was going to ask you. I know you've talked about him a little bit, but what is it simply a matter of, there's got to be something more than plate coverage with him, isn't there?
No, he has bat speed. Again, he has a pretty good hand-eye coordination. Again, he's a small sample size. You know, he's getting good pitches to hit, which is the key at the big league level. These guys throw hard. You know, they have secondary pitches to feed off of that. They want most of those to not be strikes. You know, they look like strikes, and they end up balls. When you can lay off of one of those, getting a hitter's count, and be short and quick and quiet. He's a quiet hitter. Quiet hitter means a lot of moving parts. It is direct. He picks it up, he sets it down, he goes. There's nothing, and it's repeatable. If you can find something that's repeatable, it took me 16 years to find that.
He's got more power than him. But you know who he kind of reminds me of a little bit in his approach? When Ben Revere was here, it was the same thing. He's got more power than Ben Revere. But Ben Revere was the same guy. Plate coverage, do damage in the zone. The difference is Arozarena, he can do damage outside
the
zone.
He can use the whole field.
Yeah, that's
the difference, right? It's the raceway. The race always seemed to find the guy they traded for that nobody wanted. You just throw this guy in, and all of a sudden he turns into, he's hitting third in your lineup in a playoff series against the New York Yankees. Only the race
can bombs.
Do that.
And hitting bombs.
Yeah, he's carrying your team offensively. He basically went for the Rays, and then they took off.
It really was remarkable. We've got a 590-590 is a text line. Got a great text from Nathan in Brantford. Nathan, I promise you, we're going to get to it later on in the show. It's exactly what we're talking about, and you've given us food for thought. So we will get to your text later on in the show. Danny Jansen, Blue Jays catcher, been gracious enough to join us very early in the offseason. We'll talk to Danny Jansen next. Baseball Central continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, a reminder, the NHL draft is on Sportsnet TV right now. They're doing rounds 2-7. Today, we will, of course, keep you updated on any news. The A's and Astros, Game 3 of that series, will go at 3:30 on Sportsnet Ontario. Rays and Yankees, Game 3 at 7 o'clock, right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet Ontario. And then the Padres and Dodgers, Game 2 of that series, 9 p.m. on Sportsnet. When that game was too late for me last night, I have to admit.
Yeah, it's tough.
It was tough. I watched a bit of it, and then luckily I had the Sportsnet Now app, so I was like in bed half reading, half watching it. But anyhow, we'll talk about the Padres and Dodgers later on. I know you've got some stuff to say about Clayton Kershaw. I think we've already had our say in Rays and Yankees. A's and Astros, all I got to say is this. Ross Atkins, Mark Shapiro, when his season is done, call up George Springer. I know you can't give him a blank check. Call up a blank contract. Call up George Springer and say, how much would it take to really have a discussion?
I don't think it's going to cost you a ton. I think with his age,
I don't know.
I think you're looking at 3 years and some, whatever the number is.
Anyhow, well, you know what we want to? I want to have a discussion about clutch tomorrow because people talk about, clutch doesn't exist anymore, blah, blah. I want to talk about clutch hitting tomorrow, okay? Mm. So I'm planting that seed in your brain.
All right.
I want to talk about clutch hitting. Danny Jansen of the Blue Jays joining us. Danny, thanks so much for doing this very early in the offseason. Frankly, if it was me, I would have told Travis I'm not coming on, but you are not me. Thank God for all of us.
And Danny's nice.
And I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, fellas.
How's it going early? How's it going early, by the way? What was the best thing you've done since you got home?
Well, actually, me and my fiance bought a home in Florida, so moving into that probably for sure.
There you go.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Huge step for us, but we're really happy to be here.
Good stuff.
Okay, before Jeff jumps in, I got to ask you about it. I know you were watching the Yankees game yesterday, and you've been a part of this.
Well, he may have been moving now. Come on, he may have been shuffling
boxes. I know,
boxes.
But, you know, he's on social media. He can flip through and see what Aaron Boone's going through. We talk about the opener and Davey Garcia and being a catcher behind the plate. That relationship between the guy that comes in after the opener. How are you as a catcher trying to be the person in between to talk him into, you know, you can do this. I know you're not used to it, but we can get through this together kind of thing.
Yeah, it's different. You don't really see it a whole lot with like a starting pitcher opening another starting pitcher. But I guess in the experience I had, usually a bullpen guy going. And then the starter, obviously a different way of preparing, I guess, because you're coming out of the bullpen, but you still do your preparing with your pitcher and you kind of just, you go after it and you do it. And it might be an inning or two until you're in there as a starting pitcher, but you get the ball and you do your thing.
How important is it, Danny, that everybody buys in on this? And I'm not talking about the Yankees specifically because clearly, you're not there, we're not there. But in general, when an organization decides it's going to use the opener or it's going to play games with its starting pitcher, and I'm using that phrase just in general, it's going to play games with its starting pitcher, maybe take him out after two or three innings. How important is it that the pitchers, and frankly, that you've got buy-in as well?
Yeah, I think a lot. I think it has a lot to do with it. I think it's you got a bunch of different guys going. You're playing matchups and stuff like that. I mean, you're not really establishing stuff too as an opener. You're kind of going after them to get outs it's quick or not. But when you get a starting pitcher, you're establishing in and out with the fastball. You're establishing all these sorts of things with the opener and stuff. You're just going right after them. If you got to throw three curveballs in a row to start the game or whatever you got to do, I mean, you do it. So.
Danny, we've all had some challenges offensively. I know. Listen, whenever I was a player,
I'm perfect.
Yeah, you are perfect. But when I was a player, I had some challenges offensively too, not being able to hit something that I was used to hitting and had issues with that. You had a couple of good games to end the season offensively. You hit some balls hard. You hit a couple of home runs, that kind of thing. Anything that you can take from, things that you weren't doing well that you can build off of in the offseason?
I think it was a great way to end the season for me personally, for confidence wise and going forward into the off season. I think that I made a lot of huge adjustments before the spring training 2.0 and all that stuff. So, it took me definitely a lot longer than I'd hoped, but, you know, it's just staying within myself and not trying to make back the season in one swing, which I felt like at times that's what happened, you know, at the back stretch of the season. But you know what? It's just going out there. It's, you know, it's, you're struggling and stuff. You're not worried about your batting average. You're just trying to help the team win and put the barrel on the baseball. And I think just simplifying things and just trying to barrel the baseball, you know, like that last game, last month was really hard. So you're not trying to do too much. You're trying to put the barrel on it and the balls will fly, man. So, you know, I think there is some stuff. I think there's some stuff in my approach too that I'm, you know, year two coming in here, guys know how, you know, they're pitching me different than, you know, the previous year and stuff because they got more information. And it's just, it's really just owning my swing and owning my approach and just, you know, it's struggling for me again, and I'm going to take the most out of it. So I'm going to build off it. I'm going to come in. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to do my stuff in the off season. I'm itching already for spring training.
You know, Danny, I made this point during the playoffs that the calendar was telling us it was October. The calendar was, was telling us that it was the beginning of the postseason, but it was actually the 62nd game of the year, 61st, 62nd game of the year for you guys. I mean, that normally it would be, you'd be playing the 61st or 62nd game. I think in the second week of June, maybe first week of June. As players, do you have to keep that in mind when you sit down and look at your season? You know, that realistically, I'm probably looking at, I don't know, half of what I normally would have done, less than half of what I normally done. Do you have to keep that in mind when you evaluate the season? Because everybody can have a bad month. Guys have won MVP awards and had a bad 3 weeks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. So, yeah, that definitely, you definitely got to take that into play. I think that, you know, 62 games, you know, out of, you know, usually 162, you got 100 games left, you know, and man, it felt like it was game 262, to be honest.
So, Danny,
you definitely got to look into that.
Yeah. Sorry about that. How much did you learn catching Hyunjin Ryu consistently the way you did as a catcher behind the plate?
Yeah, I mean, he's got outstanding stuff. I mean, you guys saw. I mean, it was fun, man. It was, you know, it took us a little bit. You know, it took me a little bit to get on the same page with him first couple times out. You know, you see, you know, a lot of times stepping off, shaking. But once I got the feel of him, and, you know, build that trust with each other. And, you know, there's some times where we got the scouting report, but it's like I'm seeing something. And he's like, you know, you got that trust built. So he's like, all right, let's do it. And we go with it. So it was fun, though, man. I mean, it was a very particular game plan we had going forward. And we attacked guys certain ways, and we stuck to it. And I made the adjustments here and there. But, I mean, the guy's a stud. It was a blast.
You know, the off season, well, the playoffs are on right now, but teams are making plans in the off season. We know that the Jays are looking to add some players. I mean, there has been talk they might even add some more depth behind the plate. What are you thinking of this off season? You know, it's funny. I once had a guy tell me, you know what? Once you're in the game for 3 or 4 years, you start looking at the off season differently because now you're talking about arbitration and now you're talking about how the team's seen me a little bit. Maybe they want to add something else at my position. He said it becomes a business in the third year generally. I'm just wondering how you feel about it.
Me personally, you know, it's that stuff that, you know, you can't really control. So I'm just trying to make the best Danny Jansen I can and go out there and help my team win. And, you know, that's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to put all my focus into that, all my focus into making myself a better player, better teammate, and all these things. And I'm going to apply them.
Hey, Danny, we appreciate you doing this. When's the wedding? Do you have a date?
Yeah, January 16th.
All righty.
Very nice.
21. Yes.
Very good.
Right around the corner.
Well, listen, as I think we talked to you a little earlier, you're one of the few people who's going to remember 2020 for something positive. So
yeah, for sure.
Again, congratulations. I hope the move goes well. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll be chatting.
Thanks, Danny.
All right, you guys too. Take care. Thanks.
Take care. Thank you. It's Danny Jansen of the Toronto Blue. That's a big year, man. Getting married, moving. I've done that.
Yeah.
That's a big ass year. You know?
Yeah, you know, I think he's, again, listening to him talk, I think he's owned the fact that changes need to be made with his approach. Yeah.
He's going to be fine.
When you're a catcher, you're hitting the bottom of the order. You know, bottom of the order comes with, let's see if you can hit a fastball. So if I'm him and I'm anywhere around him and I'm a friend of his, simplified enough to help think mindset-wise of how do I get barrel to baseball?
Yep.
That's as simple as I look for something hard. How do I A to B the baseball? That it's really that simple, and then I can expand from there. Then you start thinking of mindset, you know, ambushing pitches early in count, two-strike approaches. You know, those are advanced things, but simplified enough of how do I A to B baseball?
Yeah, he's going to be fine. And I keep telling people he's very much still in this organization's plans.
Yeah, tip your hat to the Blue Jays. Look, when I was a player and I was around players, I hit 240 as a first baseman. Yeah. I got sent down. The game has changed. So tip your hats to the Blue Jays. They are giving him a chance to go through all of these aches and pains. But I will say, when you're hitting a .170, the rubber's meeting the road now. Now you're going to have to take it to the next step and start showing them that you're taking strides offensively.
Yeah, you
have to contribute that way. Yeah.
And he will get the chance. We've talked about this. There's a lot of people in that organization all in them. I think they should be, because I'm one of those people who believes. I mean, look at catchers. There's a reason that a lot of guys in their 30s are still catching and signing free agent contracts. I just think the way. It makes sense to me that all we talk about is how the game has changed. Guys don't spend as much time in the minors as they used to do. They don't, you know, that accumulated knowledge that you only get by seeing a pitch or working with a pitcher, all that stuff that goes into building your brain as a baseball player. We talk about guys don't get that as much as they used to. Kevin, for catchers, it's got to be multiplied by two, because not only aren't you going through the normal development as a hitter you get in the minors, but if you're rushed up, you're not going through the normal development you get as a catcher. So with catchers, I just think you have to – I think you give a catcher 4 or 5 years. I really do. I mean, unless he's a complete – unless there's an injury issue, and it's one thing about Danny. Danny plays every day. Unless there's an injury issue, I stick with my catchers – for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think Ross is seeing the same thing that we're probably seeing, that if you give him a break with Ryu, maybe his offense will take off. Maybe he doesn't have to worry about getting him through 4 or 5 pitches and, you know, figuring out three batters ahead. That's a lot to ask a young guy.
What's a good offensive year for Danny Jansen? 162 games.
240 with 15.
Bingo. Exactly.
Hit me 15 homers. I'm good with that.
590, 590 is the text line. We'll get to it. We'll talk a little NLDS. Don Mattingly accusing Ronald Acuna Jr. of a dirty slide at second base. It was filthy. My question is, so what? I can say that as someone who's been standing at second base and getting a spike dug into my knee. It's Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. I got to throw a shout-out, by the way, to my guy Sam Cosentino. For those of you who don't know, Sam Cosentino, at one point in his life, was one of the Blue Jays clubhouse attendants. He was also a pretty good catcher in his day. And he also did play-by-play of the Montreal Expos games on when Sportsnet was doing them. I think it was Sportsnet was doing them from remote. Anyhow, Sammy's a baseball guy. And I fired Sammy a text last night during the NHL draft when Columbus drafted the guy that nobody'd heard of. And Sammy just said, folks, I got nothing. I don't know anything about this guy. I sent him a text and I said, dude, first of all, it was great. It's rare. You never want to pull stuff out of your ass, especially on TV. You never want to pull stuff out of your ass.
Don't make it up.
I also said, secondly, you pulled me away from watching baseball playoffs for 3 hours. So you're doing something good. So anyhow, I just told him, I said, I'd, cause I know that he's up there doing the Lord's work in the draft right now. And I figured I would give him a shout out. So I have done that. Baseball today, 3:30 on Sportsnet Ontario, A's and Astros, Rays and Yankees, 7 o'clock, 9 PM tonight, Padres and Dodgers, Kevin Barker. You are going to talk to me about Clayton Kershaw, the master of deception. Explain that to me.
Yeah. Well, the three reasons why I think he's good in 2020 is, you know, first and foremost is his health. The herniated disc, the stiff back, he had issues 2016, 2017, 2018. He's managed how to work through that. I don't think he's gotten rid of that, because you never get rid of back issues, but you do but you do figure out how to manage that.
He admitted in an, or he didn't admit, but in an interview he did at the LA Times a couple of weeks ago, he talked about he has changed his routine between starts, and he went to the Driveline Academy in the offseason.
Go ahead. Yeah, that was the third thing. But the second thing you talk about deception is if you watch him start, how much the ball moves before he releases it. And what I mean by that, if I'm standing hitting against him and I want to, you know, figure out where the ball's coming from and watch the ball. That's what good hitters try to do. They follow the baseball. You know, what do pitchers want to do? They want to be quiet. You know, Nate Pearson talks about that all about simple, simplified. Don't move the ball around. Well, he's one guy that does. Mm. The ball almost, when he goes to pick his leg up to drive down the hill, is almost below his knee. And then he gets it up. He stays stationary. He hides the ball with his front shoulder. And then he has the cut on the slider, which is a big deal, right? The deception, the health has added another mile and a half to his fastball, the velocity, that kind of thing, which makes the slider have more bite to it. Mm-hmm. The longer that slider can go and then bite, the more times he has of that guy swinging over it. That's a big deal. And then you mentioned the driveline. They've sort of combined the two things. You know, they're famous for the weighted ball program. You know, you hear everybody goes to driveline, they talk about the weighted ball program where they want to throw the big, heavy ball as far as they can. That's how they gain the velocity. And he's added the balance over the rubber, the create the most power with the body. They've added the two together. They come up with some program because of that reason. When I was doing the demo here for my Instagram account, I was actually having back issues of trying to, because he puts so much force on his back leg because he bends it so much to get basically that big round thing with his arm to get it and drive down the hill and maximize velocity and balance over the rubber and these kind of things. Look, you know, he is the best regular season pitcher I've ever seen. And then we saw the 13 strikeouts and the no walks kind of thing. He's going to have to duplicate these kind of things for them to be a World Series champion team this year.
You talked about his deception, and he holds the ball really low.
Well, he gets it low.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Does that make his curve even more effective? Because, you know, as a hitter, you are looking down. Now you're looking up. Here comes the ball
down
again.
You have to follow it so much. Well, it sure does. And
it's got to get tiring, doesn't it, following? Doesn't that get mentally tiring?
It's very tough. That's why the slider's that much better. That's why when he adds a little bit more to his velocity, you know, it gives that hitter has to make up his mind quicker. Like, because it gets on you quicker, you have to make up your mind. Is it a slider? Is it a breaking ball? Is it a fastball? You have three things going through your mind, and that's why you're seeing strikeouts go up, walks going down. He's throwing strike one a lot more. You know, I think the league's hitting a little over 400 on first pitches, so that'll be something interesting. You want to swing first pitch. You don't want to get to the slider. You don't want to get to the breaking ball. But with the deception and where he releases the ball out in front of his head, right, is almost too late. It just, because of where he hides the ball, he basically runs it up his back. And then because of his front shoulder hiding the baseball, and it comes out and it's above his head, it gets on you between that little part where, you know, recognizing the breaking ball coming out and up, it's almost just impossible. And that big loopy breaking ball that he has that's, you know, low 70s, and then he's separating it with the slider that's 88, and then now the fastball, you know, he used to be a 94 guy. Now he's more that 91, 92 guy. But last year and the year before that, he was in the high 80s.
Right.
So he has made adjustments, and the drive line and all of these things. You know, the older you get, you have to make adjustments. And he's gotten stronger. He's throwing more strikes. For me, he has to be Clayton for them to win it this year.
Padres really look like they're up against it, don't they? With Clevinger only lasting as long as he did. Kershaw's going tonight for the Dodgers. Look, for the Padres to win, they're going to need three spectacular innings out of their bullpen every night, essentially. Look like they're up against
it. Well, sooner or later, Zach Davis is going to have to pitch.
Yes.
Chris Paddock's going to have to pitch. They're going to have to pitch well. They're going to have to hit with runners in scoring position. You know, how do you get through games with multiple pitchers? Mm. You know, it's almost impossible when you don't have Mike Clevinger, which, you know, he is one of those forces. He was forcing it last night. He was trying to make himself, you know, get through three innings? And that's impossible to ask a guy. I was there. You know, whenever I went to winter ball, I'll give you a winter ball story real quick. I know we're up against it, but when I was with Moises Alou and I was with one winter ball team and Mo's team, Escogido, was going to the playoffs and they had a draft on, you know, they could draft players from other teams.
Right.
Well, Mo drafted me first and wanted me to come over. And he basically walked up to me and said, "You're going to carry us to a championship." Well, we won the Caribbean World Series.
But Kevin Baker.
There you go. But to relate to Clevenger,
yep,
is I had an issue with my back, and I worked through it. I forced myself through it because I didn't want to let Mo down. Like, it's basically that. He's going through sort of the same thing. You traded for me. I'm supposed to be the guy. I'm going to get the shot in the elbow. I'm going to try go out there and maximize and force it. It's it's a lot to ask a team that's – yeah, going up against the best team in the National League. It's tough.
Yeah, I just, man, I'm looking at Mike Clevenger as a long-term proposition. I'm not a big fan of guys taking cortisone shots and then going out and trying to throw through it.
Mm-hmm.
590 is a text. I got a couple of great texts here. Nathan and Brantford. Jeff, Kevin, do you guys think this is maybe finally the last straw for the analytics part of the game?
Nope.
I really want old school baseball when a manager goes with his gut feeling. It's Nathan and Brantford. Nathan, I got to tell you a couple of things about this, and I mean this with all due respect. The managers. I think the day of the gut feeling is gone because a couple of things. I don't know if there are managers in the game anymore who have come up through the minors managing on gut feeling. I think there are a lot of managers in this game that don't have a gut feeling. And I do not mean that. I don't mean that negatively. I'm just saying.
Experiences.
Thank you.
That's what it is.
Thank you. That's
past experiences. Something that I saw work before. When it comes that time, I want to see it work again.
Right.
That's what you're talking about?
Yes. And it's funny because I was thinking that when I started covering the Expos, Buck Rogers was a manager. And Buck and I had this deal because I'd never covered baseball before. So I said, look, for at least for the first month, can I come in ahead of the regular writers just for half an hour so I can ask you stuff that's really stupid? I just don't want to be an ass. Yeah. I don't want to ask you because I had literally not covered baseball. And Buck, God love him, said absolutely. So I, like, one of the second days there, I said, Buck, what the hell's gut feeling? He said, gut feeling? He said, that's when I've screwed up. And I don't want you guys to get on me. So I just say I had a gut feeling. None of you guys have the balls to question me if I say I have a gut feeling, because you just assume as a manager, my gut feeling, I must have thought I was right.
Yeah.
So I said, so basically gut feeling doesn't exist. He said, well, it exists, but a lot of time it's just pure BS.
Yeah.
So, but look, analytics is here to stay. It's not going away.
I ask you a question. If J-Hack came in the game yesterday and pitched six scoreless innings, would we be having this conversation? We'd be saying Aaron Boone and the New York Yankees is the smartest team
genius
on the planet.
Aaron Boone.
You ever seen anything like that? Manager of the year. Skip Kevin Cash.
I know.
We would have said.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. No, when listen, it doesn't work, it looked like it looked last night.
And you know what else Barker said? Teams have made a financial investment in analytics.
It's cheaper. It is cheaper to use those kind of guys than going out and spending $200 million on a starting pitcher.
Bingo.
It is.
Bingo.
That's why they
Although
do
it is expensive when you set up all the computers on it. The initial investment is expensive.
I would assume.
Okay, I gotta got to get to this question because it's kind of a nice question to end the show with. Why is George Springer so likable despite being an Astro? Even Altuve ended up seeming like a scheming, I'm not going to say that word on the air, after the scandal. But I just can't hate Springer. I want to, but I can't.
Because he's good. He breaks. He's hit two home runs the last 2 days.
He keeps his mouth shut for the
first
most part.
Impression
about this.
Is
Has
the last
he said
one. First impression is the last thing. Yep. I don't remember what he did last year. I just remember what he's done the last 2 days. Go 4-for-5, 2-for-4, couple of homers, driving in runs, running all over the place, catching balls in center. That's exactly what it is. I'll say this again. If they would expand and be lost at the plate and swinging at everything, then you could say something.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't.
No.
He's the one guy that is that you want to watch hit.
Yep.
You really do.
I think you're right.
When it matters, that's who you want up.
We mentioned that the Marlins and Braves got into it a bit yesterday, to say the least. And Ronald Acuna was, he's got a history with the Marlins. He was thrown at. There was a play at second base where he basically attempted.
You hit me five or six times. I'm going to be mad.
Dude. Yeah. But basically attempted knee surgery on the second baseman for the Marlins. This was Don Mattingly. We'll just play this clip. This is Don Mattingly today, manager of the Marlins. Andrew.
Well, if you get spiked above the knee, I'd call it dirty, right? In today's game, maybe in 15 years ago, you'd blow that guy up. Nobody says a word and everybody expects it. But in today's game, if you spike a guy above the knee, I think you call that dirty.
All right.
You can't argue that. You can't argue that. If it's above the knee, then the infielder needs to take issues with that and do something about it. This is what baseball players do all the time. They talk too much. You know, if you got that big of an issue, go out there and do something about it. Like that's every once in a while. I know it's the playoffs and the Braves can't do without Acuna Jr. And maybe that's not the right time, but we talk whenever he plays the Marlins, we talk about this a lot. Something's got to give. Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. Somebody's got to do something about it. Like, are we going to continue to have this talk? You know, how you get him out, you pitch him in. How many people know how to pitch in, Jeff?
Well,
it's rare.
How many people, and I'll tell you
that
what.
Throw 97.
There aren't a lot of 22, 23, 21-year-old guys who know how to pitch in. That to me is part of the problem right there, is you're asking young guys. We talked about this. You're asking young guys with a lack of experience to pitch inside to a guy. Yeah. I covered Pedro Martinez in his years with Montreal when he came up. Everybody talked about how Pedro Martinez was a headhunter. You know what Pedro Martinez was? He was a young guy trying to figure out how the hell to pitch inside, because he knew if he didn't pitch inside, he was going to get his lunch eaten.
Yeah.
And you know what? He hit people.
Yeah.
Because Pedro was one thing all good pitchers are. He was stubborn. And he knew that he was going to learn how to pitch inside. Now, if he happened to hit you in the first year when he was doing it, it's not his fault. Get out of the way. That's what he told me one time.
That's it.
He said, Pedro,
that's simple.
You're getting a reputation.
Get out of the way.
He said, well, then don't move back. And I said, it doesn't work that way. He said, it does what I pitch. There you go.
All in favor.
And he's Pedro Martinez. I'm not arguing with it. We'll be back tomorrow. Don't go anywhere. Writer's Block is next. David Sampson joins us. We'll have lots of Marlins talk, lots of baseball talk as well. Probably, my guess is, we'll have some hockey talk.